This is A Couple Cooks Small Bites, bite-sized food for thought. I'm Sonia Overheiser.
And I'm Alex Overheiser. We're the podcast that pairs small bites of food with short-form interviews to inspire you in less than 20 minutes.
You can go to our website, acouplecooks.com, for hundreds of recipes, healthy living inspiration, and our cookbook, Pretty Simple Cooking. Today on the show, the food and wine culinary director brings us some mad genius tips. Hey, welcome to Small Bites, the show where we eat small bites of food and talk to the top exciting people in the world of food.
Today's exciting guest is Justin Chappell. He is the culinary director at Food & Wine magazine, and he has tons of information on how to take your cooking to the next level. And you might think he's kind of hoity-toity being at Food & Wine magazine. It's pretty fancy. But he also knows how to take your cooking to the next level, even if you're just kind of simple and you love something like ramen noodles.
Have we ever said hoity-toity on the show? I think that might be the first mention.
I do believe it's the first hoity-toity on the show.
So speaking of things that are not hoity-toity, let's get to this small bite for today's show. It looks delicious. I cannot wait to jump into it.
So this is one of our first small bites that requires a utensil. We have a little bowl of soup with a spoon. Does that qualify as a small bite?
Well, it's a small bowl, so it's a small bite.
All right, so you would serve this as an appetizer?
I might, yeah. I mean, you could have it as a simple lunch, or you could serve it as the first course of a meal. Now, what are we looking at? We have a big bowl of red soup with some croutons in it. It looks cozy. It looks inviting. And this recipe is from Justin's book, Just Cook It. The book fell open to this page, and I just really wanted to make it.
Well, that's perfect. Let's try it.
Okay. Wowza.
Delicious. I can tell that you kind of spent hours there simmering the tomato soup, making sure it was really rich and flavorful with herbs and spices.
Well, actually, Alex, that's a great setup because this recipe is called Smoky Marinara Soup. It actually uses a jar of marinara, high quality marinara that you can buy just at your everyday grocery. All I did was saute onion and garlic, add that marinara and some veggie broth, simmer it up. And it makes this really rich soup that, like you said, tastes like it's been simmering all day long.
So you stole all the flavor from a store-bought marinara, modified it a bit, and created a delicious soup.
Exactly. Is that not mad genius?
That is pretty mad genius. Well, let's talk to today's mad genius.
Okay. Justin Chappell is the culinary director at Food & Wine. He's the host of their video series, Mad Genius Tips, which was nominated for a prestigious James Beard Award. Justin is author of two cookbooks, Just Cook It and Mad Genius Tips. Justin Chappell, welcome to Small Bites.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be on with you guys.
We're so happy to have you here. And you're food director at Food & Wine. You've written a couple books. The latest is Just Cook It. So you're totally at the top of the foodie game. But you say in the intro of your book that much of your culinary inspiration came from your grandmother. Can you tell us a little bit more about her and how she inspires your work?
Yeah, for sure. So, so I was kind of raised by my grandma for pretty much half my childhood. And she was a solid home cook. But what was so inspiring about how she cooked was, you know, we didn't grow up with a lot of money, but what she would do is kind of take, you know, whatever we had on hand and really using really neat tricks in the kitchen or really simple techniques, she would like transform really simple things into just these extraordinary dishes. And it was kind of amazing to me to, especially now as the culinary director of Food & Wine, you know, I cook food from some of the greatest chefs around the country. And when I think about how my grandma cooked, nowadays I'm like, I can't believe what she did with what we had, because, you know, I'm using these incredible ingredients to create fantastic meals every day at work. But to see that she did, you know, created the same quality dishes with just so much less is just really inspiring to me. And so in my book, Just Cook It, a lot of the recipes are kind of inspired by that, you know, very few ingredients, really accessible ingredients, and just using clever ways to kind of make things really interesting and fun in everything that we eat, really.
She sounds like a cook after my own heart. Do you have an example of kind of how she used her magic to take a humble ingredient and make it extraordinary?
Yeah. So the one that comes to mind right away is in my book, I have a recipe called bacon and egg ramen. And that's really inspired by you know, instant ramen noodles that you would get for like 10 cents, you know, when I was little.
Yes. Can you still get them for 10 cents?
I think so.
I hope
so.
I don't know. Maybe they're a quarter. 20,
yeah, 25.
they've gone up 50%. This is ridiculous. But she, you know, we always had that on hand because it was just something really easy to eat after school. But what was so fascinating about what my grandma would do is she would take these like instant ramen packets and she would turn them into these whole meals. You know, she would put them into a microwave safe bowl. She would add some water. She would add like the seasoning packets. But then she would add like scallions and hot sauce or mushrooms, or she would add, you know, crack an egg on top, and then she'd throw it in the microwave for like 3 or 4 minutes. And next thing you know, I'm eating this like really just incredible meal. And it wasn't until I moved to New York City later in life and started eating at, you know, ramen restaurants or going to like Momofuku and stuff like that, where that I realized, you know, she really made something that was kind of incredible and special out of this like 10 cent packet of just dry noodles. And so in my book, I have a recipe called bacon and egg ramen that's really inspired by all the versions my grandma made growing up. And, you know, I take it a little further in the version that I created, because what I do is I take slab bacon and I simmer it in broth to kind of give it this, to give the broth this really rich flavor. And then I like slice up the bacon and serve it in the ramen, and it kind of, it's supposed to kind of mimic like what pork belly would be if you were going to have like a more classic traditional ramen dish. But then it just ends up being really delicious and super simple and just really fast.
I feel like that's what really makes a great cook, is someone who can do that, who can take these normal everyday ingredients and make this incredible meal out of it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really, I'm so glad you asked that question, because that recipe actually is so near and dear to my heart just because of that reason, that I can, I mean, like I'm sitting here talking to you about it and I can picture my grandmother making it when I was little. So it's really special to me.
So you're the host of Food and Wine's popular video series, Mad Genius Tips. And sometimes you'll take a 4-star chef's recipe and you'll kind of simplify it. So today we've asked you to come up with some time-saving tips that will make eating vegetables, something we all want to do more, a little bit better. What do you have for us?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I love crudité, but, you know, crudité is just so old fashioned, I think. And everybody, you know, they put out these platters at parties and it's like baby carrots, but not really baby carrots, you know, the little baby carrots you get in a bag, and then celery sticks and red peppers. And one of the things that I do to kind of really make eating raw vegetables really fun and really easy is I just cut them differently. And it sounds just like, you know, you say cut them differently and you're like, okay, well, what does that do? But actually it just totally, it makes you feel like you're eating something that's like new and different. And a good example of that is celery. So, you know, most people just cut celery into sticks if you're going to eat it raw, or you dice it up if you're going to put it into a soup or a stew. But one of the things that I teach in the book is to, rather than cutting it into sticks, you cut it at a very extreme angle. And what you end up with is, so you cut it kind of thinly sliced at a very extreme bias. And what you end up with are these kind of really long half moons. But because you're cutting it that way, you're cutting it against all of the kind of fibers, you know, the strings that run vertically in celery. And what it does is it makes the celery much more tender and it makes it juicier. And you know, I've cut it like that for my nieces and nephews, and then they don't even realize they're eating celery. So I would say the first thing is cut your vegetables differently.
Okay, this truly is a mad genius tip. I love that. It's so easy. And when you said the thing about kids, that's exactly what I was thinking of. We have a toddler, Larson, and he would love just the novelty of looking at something that's the same, but just in a different fashion.
Totally. And, you know, I would actually like to challenge you. So I would say take some cauliflower and cut it really, really thin, like thinly slice it. Like, so take a really big florette and just really thinly slice it into almost like paper, like the thickness of paper if you can, you know, paper thin. And I would be curious to know if your toddler eats it when it's like that.
I like that. Most of our guests don't like come at us with a direct challenge. I love this.
We'll be sure to report back.
Yes, we will.
Okay, everyone take out your notebooks. We have homework.
Exactly. I love that. All right. So how about the next one? Tip two.
So I would say tip number two is to get inspired by traditionally meat dishes. So recipes that where meat is the star, basically kind of get inspired by some of those dishes, but substitute the meat protein with vegetables or beans or grains. So a really great example of that in my book is a smashed chickpea salad. And I actually created that recipe for a friend of mine who wanted kind of a vegetarian version of chicken salad. And so basically what I do is I take canned chickpeas and put them in a bowl, and then I take a balloon whisk and I kind of mash them up a little bit just to give them some different, to give it a different texture. And then I kind of fold in the usual suspects that you would find in chicken salad. So a little bit of mayonnaise, a little red onion, maybe a little celery, some lemon juice. And what you end up with is this really great vegetarian dish that's kind of inspired by chicken salad. And I like to serve it either in lettuce wraps or put it between two slices of sandwich bread. And so I would say tip number two is to get inspired by classic meat dishes and have fun with them.
That's wonderful. And I like that you're not just saying I'm going to use tofu or tempeh. You're just taking a vegetable, but not wasting some good flavors that are in a traditional meat dish. You're saying I can use those with a vegetable.
Right, exactly. And I'm not totally against those kind of, you know, tofu or tempeh protein substitutes that kind of, you know, they create them to look like chicken or look like beef or sausage. I'm not against those, but I'm also not a huge fan of them. So I like to kind of use ingredients in their true form, like, you know, chickpeas or quinoa and stuff like that, you know, just kind of and just substitute it for the meat.
What about chickpeas shaped like chicken?
If
still
you
don't know.
If they have those, I would be so curious to try it.
All right. Do you have one more tip for us?
I do. And what I would say is raid your pantry. Take advantage of the ingredients that you find on, you know, the pantry aisle of the grocery store to kind of make things easier. So, and that could be a million different things. But for example, one of my favorite things to use is jarred marinara sauce, because you're basically getting a ton of ingredients. So you're getting onion, you're getting olive oil, you're getting tomatoes, you're getting herbs and spices that have been cooked for a long period of time. So you're saving all that time. So if, you know, making a marinara sauce takes 2 hours, buying it in a jar is saving you, you know, you're getting 2 hours of cook time in with opening a jar. And so one of the things that I mean by using that to kind of jazz up vegetable dishes is, so specifically with marinara sauce, you could do so many things with it. You can make shakshuka with it by, you know, sauteing some onion or some peppers and then adding the marinara sauce and then cracking eggs on top and throwing it in the oven. And you're getting this really incredible kind of vegetarian dish, but in a very quick way. But then another thing is I take marinara sauce and I turn it into soup. So I saute some onion. You could add meat if you wanted, saute meat if you'd like, and then add the marinara sauce, add some broth, and you get this kind of shortcut soup, which is really, in my opinion, it's very smart, but I might be a little biased there.
I would call it mad genius, in fact.
It might be mad genius is absolutely correct.
I have a question. When you're shopping for these ingredients, are you looking at the jar in the grocery store aisle, trying to figure out if it seems like a quality product or not? Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, I do. You know, I look at the ingredient list and I look to make sure that, because, you know, more often than not, anything you buy is going to have preservatives in it if it's a shelf product. But what I try to do is I look at the first few ingredients to make sure that they're natural ingredients. So you want to make sure that in marinara sauce, for example, that the first ingredient is tomatoes and not sugar or not corn syrup or something like that. And the same is true for sauces, like, or, you know, I'm a big fan of like green and red curry paste, because, you can really get a long cooked flavor and a ton of, different aromatics in just a little jar. Which is also another way of jazzing up vegetables, because you can make a vegetable stir fry just by sauteing some onion, bell pepper, maybe some corn, whatever, in a skillet, and then just add some of this curry paste, and it adds like a ton of flavor. So for the curry paste, I would look at the ingredient list and just make sure that the most of the ingredients, or at least the ones that make up the bulk of the product, are things that you would use at home, like ginger and chilies and onion and garlic and stuff like that. So
that is a great tip. And that's perfect for those weeknights where you don't even have time for a recipe. You can just have a jar of that curry paste and whatever veggies happen to be in the fridge, saute those up, add some of that curry paste.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, stir fries and frittatas are the easiest way to clean out the fridge.
We are on board with that philosophy.
Bonus tip number four right there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining us. We love all of your genius tips. We love your book, Just Cook It. And thank you for spending the time with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
What I love about the guests we have on our show is that some topics are really deep, like climate change or getting political with food, and others are super practical, like these mad genius tips from Justin.
Practical, but also personal. I love the story of Justin and his grandmother and just observing her in the kitchen, and that really inspired his entire career.
And this marinara soup is just to die for. I just finished my bowl and I'm ready for another. If you would like to follow along with Justin, he is on Instagram at Justin Chapel. His book, Just Cook It, is everywhere books are sold, and his video series, Mad Genius Tips, is on the Food and Wine website. We will link to all of those in the show notes.
And you can find all of our recipes at acouplecooks.com and follow along with our adventures at A Couple Cooks on Instagram.
Thanks for listening to Small Bites.